Log Talk Radio.
Shalom, shalom, everyone. This is Yaina Yazrael with another edition of the Yehuda Project. We're really excited today. We have some serious things we're going to discuss. And, of course, we're going to wait till my co-host is on the line and give everyone a chance to call in. And in the meantime, I'm going to play a song for you, and I hope you like it. Here we go. All right, all right, all right, everybody. We want to say hello, shalom, Shabbat shalom. Everyone, we're glad that we're here today, and we're glad to see that we have a lot of people on the line right now. I'm still waiting on my co-host, Brother Adonijah, to come on the line. So, you know, in the meantime, we just want to let everyone know, don't forget that this is the last week to make your reservation for the march in Washington, D.C. for the hotel. After the 11th, the price goes up, back up to the regular price. So we need everyone to please call in to the Comfort Inn in Washington, D.C. I will give the phone number before the show is over for everyone to please call them and make your reservation. And the code word for the reservation is N-O-Y-U-N-Y. So all you have to do is call the desk and say, I'd like to make a reservation under the code name N-O-Y-U-N-Y, and then you'll get the discounted rate at $79.99 a night. We're getting really excited about Washington, D.C. I'm really excited because Israel, the ones who want to, who choose to, who the Most High has chosen to, are going to stand up and represent. We're representing in this nation's capital, the capital and the land where we've been held captive. A powerful statement. We're getting ready to make it. It's at a powerful time. You know, we have a man of color in the office, in the highest office of the world, of the presidency. We're watching a lot of things unfold. We're watching the American nation come to a creeping halt. The government has been shut down. There's a lot of things going on right now that is leading us toward standing up and coming together as a nation. We have been begging and asking and pleading with everybody to come together as a nation, come together as a nation. We need to stand up as a nation, and I think people are finally getting it. I think it's finally starting to resonate, and it's finally starting to come in. And it's very important, you know, that we understand the importance of coming together as a nation of people and making our presence known in the midst of everything that's going on. So, you know, that is what our goal is. That is why we're here. That is the whole purpose of us being here, is to prepare our people, because we're leaving here eventually, and it's not going to be that long. You know, so we have to prepare our people, and people are starting to wake up. So as I said last week, you know, Israel, the Israel we know now will not be the Israel that will eventually be, that's going to stand up and be accounted for. So while we're still waiting on Brother Adonijah to come on the line, I was doing some research, and I want to play a couple of clips to substantiate some of the things that I've been saying down through the weeks since we've been on the line. And, you know, because I see the fall of an empire. You know, I'm not a conspiracy theorist, and I don't spend a whole lot of time, you know, on unnecessary things. But what I've been watching, you know, in comparison to the other empires like Babylon, and I don't know whether you all know, but it's only been four major empires who have ruled the whole earth. And, of course, you know, in Daniel chapter 2, it outlines those major empires. And, you know, you wonder at the end of each one of those empires, because they were world empires ruling the world, you know, how it looked as they began to crumble and how it seemed as they began to collapse. You know, and right now, are we at the brink of collapse, or is this just another smokescreen? You know, this is the question that we're asking. Does the American people and the Hebrew Israelite people need to stand up and pay attention and be prepared, or do we just continue on like there's nothing to be worried about? These are the things that we have to ask ourselves, because one thing about us as a people, and I do see Brother Adonijah on the line, one thing about us as a people is that we're led by prophecy. And it is our responsibility to follow prophecy, to make sure that we are following prophecy and being obedient and paying attention to the signs of the time. So these are the reasons why we have this type of show. We started out with this show being about relationships. We started it out of being about love between the Hebrew black man and the Hebrew black woman, the family, the community. But the more we got into the show, the more we realized that we need to start educating our people as to what's going on, you know, and also deal with relationship issues and the things that we need to deal with. So let me get Brother Adonijah on the line. And again, I'd like to thank everyone for being on the line. We have quite a few people on the line. And the way this works is, if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1 and we'll get you right on, because it's an open forum and we want to hear what you have to say. All right? Good there. All right, Brother Adonijah, are you there?
Shalom, shalom, everybody. How are you?
Wonderful, wonderful. Good to hear you. Sound in good spirits.
Oh, I'm always in good spirits unless I'm just waking up.
All righty then. All righty. We were talking about the decline of America, the shutdown of the government. How do you feel about the government being shut down, and what impact do you think it's going to have on our economic situation and where we are in prophecy? Do you think it plays a part?
Of course it plays a part, and it plays a great part in the prophecies of the Almighty. See, we got to go through this. You understand?
Mm-hmm.
And so this ought to give us the opportunity to rethink what we're doing. You understand? Are we just like I heard what you said? You know, what are we going to do? We going to still just continue on doing letting things happen, or are we going to step in and start taking charge of our own destiny? You understand?
Mm-hmm.
Now, just here recently, they shot a woman in Washington, D.C., a black woman, you understand? And I don't feel like they should have killed that young lady, whether she was black or white, you understand? But murder is running rampant. It don't make no difference, you understand? They, whether they have reason or not, they committing murders, you understand, on a regular basis, and we are the front runners on that. You understand? So we got to try to figure out what we need to do to stop some of this mess. I mean, even, you know, I know that the curse is there. We can't stop the curse, but we got to try to do something that's going to put something in place so that the children, so our children don't have to go through this. All, you know, a lot of things that's going on in the earth that we could do something about it. You understand? It is our duty, you understand, to make some kind of effort in doing something to stop these killings and murders. The Almighty said that He was going to turn this captivity right before our eyes. You understand? And He's doing His job. He's turning the captivity. You understand? He's crashing the system. You understand? And whether we know it or not, that's the hand of the Almighty working against this system here. So we got to do something now. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah, hallelujah. I think that's an excellent point. You know, the more and more that I investigate, you know, where we are in terms of prophecy, the more and more I investigate our government and our system and how everything is set up, it's a travesty that Israel won't stand up. It's a travesty that Israel is congregated in their little subsections, in their little corners and Knessets. You know, they do exhibit the same behaviors and as a church, you know, but it's a travesty that, you know, they don't feel the need to stand up as a community of people. And you know, I wanted to, because, you know, there's a lot of things going on right now with Brother Al Sharpton. I mean, Al Sharpton is on the chopping block right now. And a lot of people have decided, you know, that Al Sharpton has sold us out. You know,
oh,
so, you know,
we.
A lot of people feel like that, you know, and this is the situation. This is where I stand, you know, with it. These people are in government because they're supposed to be there, but they don't represent us. As a nation of people, we have to stand up and represent ourselves because, yes, we've benefited from the social programs that have been in place, and yes, we have had a lot of things that we've had to benefit from because of the captivity that we're in. But when you hear leaders like Al Sharpton and Cornel West and all of these people, Michael Dyson, and I can name quite a few that come on the mainstream media that they have propped up as leaders for us, you got to really, you know, you got to look at Israel and say, come on, we have more ways. You know, we have Kohanes. We have all of these people that have been in this walk for such a long time that are not saying anything. And how can we, as a nation, as the nation that the Most High has chosen for Himself, not stand up and be heard, not stand up and be spoken for? How can we sit back and allow these people to represent us? You know, and that's the part I don't understand. We ask everyone again, and before I go into the clip that I'm about to play, I want to let everyone know that while we're on this line, the way this works, if you have a question, If you want to interject into our conversation, just push one, because we talk. That's what this whole show is about, is everybody gets a chance to talk. You know, we're not here to entertain. We need input. We want to be able to communicate. We listen while you talk, and then we talk, and that's how it goes until the show is over. But this is really serious, because is it the fall of an empire? Are we to get ready to start getting ready to exit up out of here? Do we sit and wait till the last minute? What is it that we're supposed to do? So I want to play a clip by Al Sharpton, and Al Sharpton and Cornel West are going at it. I mean, really, these people have literally called Al Sharpton a house nigga. I mean, it's getting ugly, you know, but it's getting real ugly around here. So, you know, I just want to know what you all think about this, you know. And last week, didn't too many people want to say anything, but this week, we implore you to push one. You know, don't be afraid. We want to hear what you have to say. We want to hear your comments, your questions, your concerns, because we're here for the people. Because this is a Joshua and Caleb generation that's coming forth, and maybe the old Morays and Cohans aren't supposed to stand up. Maybe it's us. Will the real Israel please stand up? Hold on one moment. I'm going to get this clip on for you, because I want you to hear what is being said about Al Sharpton and Cornel West. Here we go.
Education, equality across the board. Everything that you have done in your career has been for equality, has been for opportunity for all. But moving forward, what's the climate going to be like? What's the fight going to be like? What's it going to be like moving forward as opposed to some of the things that you've had to do in the past?
Well, I think that what we did in the past, we did based on what we had to do. And there's other situations I got in I wouldn't get in. I would just know how to fight and deal with them more strategically, which goes back to the point that we were discussing with Dr. West. I think that a lot of what I'm trying to say is in the spirit of what Velma said. I think, yes, the president has to be held accountable, and the president said that when he spoke at National Action Network. But I think that too many of us are putting it all on the president. If I see a riot in Congress, where's the counterpoint to Ryan? That's not President Obama's job. He shouldn't lead the civil rights marches against himself.
Robert, what about
the
that?
The churches, the academics. Everybody's like sitting around acting like we can't do nothing Obama should do. That's hogwash.
I agree with you. Look, we need foot soldiers on the ground that's going to be able to do all the heavy lifting. There's no question about it. I guess my point simply was, look, I'm just the messenger, is that a lot of folks on Capitol Hill, and I'm talking more about the more progressive wing of the party, they're saying, I'm tired of doing all of the hard work and not having the administration defend me. I'm tired of doing all the heavy lifting, and then thus in the process, the next day at the podium,
but
the White
House. But we're leadership is, because the fact of the matter is, each of them were elected by a constituent base.
I agree.
Each of them should stand on their own. While the party should support each other, at the end of the day, they should be held accountable for their own actions, and they should be accountable. They should be accounted up.
No, but I think the problem is that they have a black constituency, and there's a context in the nation that a criticism of President Obama is an attempt to support right-wing vicious attacks of Fox News and others. Part of the problem right now, let me tell you something.
I love this brother
when he was outside. I love this brother giving his assets, but I tell you this. I worry about your brother because you could be easily manipulated by those in the White House who do have the interests of Wall Street oligarchs, who do have the interests of corporate plutocrats, and you oppose, and you end up being the public face. And if
Barack Obama ends up
just being another black mascot of these
which is exactly why I'm on that film that I'm the one out there in the trenches at the labor rallies and during the march. You just saw that while a lot of people are sitting around inside their ivory towers talking. Because I don't buy what you just said, Cornel. Wait a minute. When you talk about a lot of those blacks in Washington don't want to challenge the president of these blacks.
Let me finish.
They would represent those same communities when they supported George Bush on the Iraq war, and only one black woman, Barbara Lee, voted against the war. They were scared then, and they're scared now. If you're scared, say you're scared. Don't blame that on Obama.
What
you're scared to stand up for the people.
What about that? Why did they vote for Bush? Do you have a critique of Obama, or are you?
My critique of Obama was very clear. That President Obama, you want my critique?
Yes.
Let me give you the critique.
Yes.
My critique of President Obama is he must bring about policies that will employ us equally, that will deal with our education.
And where's the job?
Where's the job? The job. That's what I'm asking you. Your friends in Congress that sit around waiting on President Obama to write a bill to go in Congress, that's their job.
Well, Congress got a job bill ready.
Now, we can't get the Hebrew Israelites to stand up. Congress scared to say something. How long are we going to sit back and listen and make excuses like, y'all got to come and get us out. Y'all got to do something. Y'all left it up to us to do this. We're the ones in this land in captivity. We've always been in government. We've always been strategically placed in government somewhere to be able to negotiate and do things to make things better for us while we're yet in our captivity. And we can go from Joseph down to Daniel, and we can keep on going all the way down through the book. We've always been influential in government while we were yet in captivity. So what are we going to do now? How long are we going to sit up and let them represent us?
I agree with everything that you said. Now, we got to understand that those people are only there to sustain our living up until this day and time right now. The time is now for Israel to stand up. If you listen to that what they were saying, they said nothing to help the black folks. They was arguing between one another about their participation. You understand? They don't have a solution for this. We have a solution for this. All we have to do is stand up for Yah in a unified manner, you understand, and the Almighty will give us what we need. He will show us which way to go and how to handle things. See, the time for us, we are people of righteousness, the righteous Almighty, and we got to stand up and bring righteousness into the earth. You understand? These people don't have no idea as to how to solve these problems. You understand? So our duty here is that we must stand. Now, I if we're looking for the leaders to stand up, man, you know, it might be past their time. So we as the secular person, the people that listen to the leaders, it might be us to make the effort to stand up. You understand? Once we start moving, everybody else will start moving. You understand? It says that the destruction decree, you understand, shall be overrun with righteousness. And we the people of righteousness. You understand? So we have to, righteousness is supposed to emanate from us like a glow. You understand? You know how that glow is supposed to be shown? Is how we treat one another, how we brought one another from the bottom to the top. That's how we're supposed to do this. Now, look, I had mentioned about those 450 schools that was closed down. You understand? We should be looking into how we can attain a couple of those schools, you understand, and set up the University of Israel, you understand?
That's
and
good.
Each one of those schools have basements. We know it's going to get rough. We need to set them basements up, you understand, as a disaster relief. I mean, where we can come and build a treasury of all the things that we need, because it's going to get real, real bad, you understand?
Yes,
we got to have some place to go. You understand? If we get them schools, then we can fortify those basements, man, so that we can house people when they come by. If it ain't nothing but a staging area, we need to get that going on. You know, these people don't have no solution for us or for the problems that they did. That we didn't have anything to do with this. We just went along with it because we didn't have no pull nowhere. Now it's on our it's the ball is in our court. We got to do this. You understand? Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, hallelujah. I see Erica 111. I'm going to get right to you. And I just want to let everyone know we're on the line. We have a lot of people that have called in on this line. We want to hear you, what you have to say. We want to hear your comments. We want to hear your questions, your concerns. Please push one if you have something to say. But we've been on this line for almost, it'll be, we've been on this line for quite a while. I mean, for a very long time. And it hasn't quite been a year. But we want to say this. You know, the whole purpose for this line right now, at this point, we started out about relationships between men and women, and then it evolved into preparing Israel, and this is the work of the Most High, because our job is not to entertain. We're not interested in making a name for ourselves. We're just trying to be obedient to what the Most High has called us to do. We allow people to come on the line. We allow people to give their comments. We allow people to say what they have to say. But at the end of the day, I mean, really, come on, Israel. How long is it going to take for us to stand up? Because you know what I'm tired of? I'm tired of people telling me, well, we got to wait on y'all. It's y'all's responsibility. We got to wait on y'all. Y'all put us in this captivity, and this is where we have been for almost 400 years. And every program that you take advantage of, from Social Security to disability to food stamps, those people have negotiated that for us to have so that we can survive. That does not mean that you sit back and accept and don't say nothing.
That
our conditions have gotten a whole lot better than it was when we first came over here on them ships and they were feeding our babies to the alligators. They were cutting up our babies for fish bait. Come on, people, when are we going to stand up and be counted? What has to happen before we stand up and say something? Because you don't do nothing, and they're going to do it for you. And those are the people that we just listened to that are making the decisions for us. People say, well, we don't have to march. What's the purpose of marching? It's our right to march. As long as we are citizens in this nation, it is our right to march and to protest about the things that are going on in this country. And guess what? Even if you feel like it's not doing any good, at least you're not sitting at home watching TV making excuses for not doing nothing. Somebody's got to get up and do something. So, again, I had somebody to push one. I guess they changed their mind. I want to, please, if you have a question, a comment, anything, please push one. We want to hear what you have to say, you know, because we're a nation of people. We're not little tiny groups. We're not messianic, non-messianic. We came over here as one body of people, and that's the same way we're going to leave up out of here. I want to play another clip for you, and hopefully we will get an opportunity. Oh, he's back again. Okay, let me do area code 111. Area code 111, you're on the air. Go ahead.
Shalom, shalom. This is Brother Moshe out of Chicago.
Shalom, shalom, Moshe.
Shalom. I have a few minutes. I'm at work, so I got an opportunity to call that much earlier than I usually do. I heard you say we can't get the Hebrew Israelites to join in. You say we can't get the Hebrew Israelites to join in. Who are the Hebrew Israelites?
Those that are called by the name of Yah, those that are sitting on the fence, you understand? All of those people that the people of the diaspora, 88% of those people that came over here were Israelites, you know, We just asking for those people to stand up. Let's just have let's just dialogue about this. Let's get all of those congregations together so that we can talk about how we can get out this mess that we're in. You understand? Now we all know about the curse. The curse, you understand, has shown itself in many a ways. You understand? And the peoples that we depend on, you understand, have no solutions for us coming together. They haven't even mentioned anything about the Almighty. You understand? In all of their lectures and etc., they don't talk about how the curse, how we've been under this curse. you understand, or how to get out of this mess. Because the Almighty said that if we gather ourselves, you understand, we may be hidden in the day of our his great wrath. You understand? Now, those that know themselves to be Israel are the true Israelites, or are the Israelites, you understand, that was brought over here as the in the diaspora.
Well, I would like to say this. Can you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
I would like to say this, if you will. See, sometimes when I listen to people and I call in on these shows, when I have an opportunity quite often when I'm available, and I listen to a lot of people that say the Hebrew Israelites this, the Hebrew Israelites that, as if it's a religion, a religious group. Israel is not a religious group. It's just a nationality of people for those that are listening. So when you say we can't get the Hebrew Israelites to join in, and that have always perplexed me to hear a person of color say that, as if that the Hebrew Israelites are separate from you. Now, we know all blacks are not Israel. We know that. But when you are aware that you are Israel, and say we can't get the Hebrew Israelites to join in, that's saying that we can't get ourselves to help ourselves. So our wording should be, we can't get our people to help. But when you label us as we can't get a group, then it makes the world think we are a religious organization, and we're not. We're just a nationality of people that are in captivity trying to go home. That's it. Praise the mighty Yah. Thank you.
I agree with you 100%. And you know what? The way that I see that when I say the Hebrew Israelites, because I am interjecting in that way for a reason, because it's very important that we as a nation of people, and I am a Hebrew Israelite as well, stand up and represent ourselves, because the black people, the people of color, have represented us in politics since they have been able to do so. And look at where it's got us. We are in much better places than we were before, but we are nowhere where they think we're supposed to be. We know what the outcome is going to be, and we know how far we're going to be able to go. But at the end of the day, when I say they, I mean the black people that are in politics, that are out in the front, and that the unconscious Israel gets a chance to see all of the time, if they fall for, there's going to be better conditions, and we're going to always be treated equal, and we're not standing up because job situations are the way they are, then this lie, this perpetual lie that they're telling, will go on generation after generation after generation. So when I say Hebrew Israelites, that is exactly what I mean. We need to stand up as a nation. We know we're not a religion. We are a nationality of people, and we need to be able to have our voice heard to our own people, or they're going to keep listening to the Al Sharptons and the Cornel Wests and the Michael Dysons that have been put in our face to bring an argument about something that we know they can't do anything about. So that is the whole purpose for me saying that, and I am talking to us as a people. Again, if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please feel free to push 1. We want to hear what you have to say. In the interim of things, I'd like to play another clip, if you don't mind, because I want you to hear how serious this is, and from our group of people, and then also from the other nations and how they see us, because this is pretty serious. Here we go.
Pat Smiley went on Democracy Now! They didn't just talk about President Obama, where they obviously had very strong words. They also talked about MSNBC hosts, particularly African Americans. Here is Brother Cornell on that.
I love Brother Mike Dyson, too. But we're living in a society where everybody's up for sale. Everything's up for sale. And he and Brother Sharpton and Sister Melissa and others, they have sold their souls for a method of Obama pottage. And we invite them back to the black prophetic tradition after Obama leaves. But at the moment, they want insider access. And they want to tell those kind of lies. They want to turn their back to poor and working people. And it's a sad thing to see them as apologists for the Obama administration in that way, given the kind of critical background that all of them have had at some point.
Damn, man. When he comes serious, man, he comes with a 2x4. So is he right? Well, remember what Al Sharpton said on 60 Minutes when talking to Leslie Stahl, and what he told her during that report as well. Here, let's watch.
Sharpton told us that having a black president is a challenge. If he finds fault with Mr. Obama, he's aiding those who want to destroy him. So he's decided not to criticize the president about anything, even black unemployment that's twice the national rate.
Have you told other blacks not to criticize him publicly?
What I've told them is to be genuine about it. There are some blacks that say he needs to go with a black agenda. He needs to do this. He said when he was running he wasn't going to do that. Duh. Surprise?
But just because he didn't campaign on improving unemployment in black areas, why aren't you out there saying we need more done?
What I don't want to see is because he is black that we act like he's not the real president. He ought to be leading the black cause or the labor cause. He's the president.
Man, again, on the language of Dr. West, I have no comment. You know, it's strong language. Everybody gets to make their point in the way that they want to make it. You might have said it in other ways. I might have said it in other ways. And I've said very harsh things as well, right, in my own way. But on the substance of Dr. West on this issue, after you watch that, it's hard to argue. First of all, he told 60 Minutes that he will not criticize the president about anything. Well, it doesn't get more in the tank for somebody than that. It's literally the most sellout thing you can say. I mean, if you're his campaign spokesperson, okay, that's fine. That's your job, right? But if you're supposed to be in the media and you're supposed to have some degree of objectivity, it doesn't mean that you don't have an ideology or different ideas that you want to push. We do, too. But it's a different thing to be partisan, to say, whether I personally agree or disagree, I'm going to lie to my audience. And I'm not going to tell them that. I'm just going to say whatever the president says is right, when I don't even believe that. That's what it means to not criticize him no matter what. And then did you hear that part where he said, well, he already told you he wasn't going to do anything for blacks. So, duh. Well, duh, that's why Cornel West is criticizing him and you. And Michael Eric Dyson, also on MSNBC as a contributor. Now, listen to what he told Democracy Now! About President Obama.
The reality is that Obama is as progressive a figure who has the chance of being elected in America. The reality is that he is the most progressive president, as Gary Dorian, an American leftist who teaches at Union Theological Seminary, argues, since FDR.
Oh, come on. We're talking about Obama and FDR in the same sentence as progressives. That's the conversation we're having. FDR, who said about the rich and the powerful on Wall Street, I welcome their hatred. I welcome their hatred. He said, they're not coming for me. I'm coming for them. Okay? And Obama, who's like, I didn't mean it, Wall Street. I didn't mean it. How many more trillions of dollars would you like? Duh, I told you I wasn't going to do anything about black people. Come on. So, yeah, I asked you on this one. Again, is it the wrong language? Is it the wrong message? Thoughts?
Well, when you go on for people who obviously said that it's not going to criticize them, I mean, I wouldn't call them journalists in the first place, but at least you know where they're coming from.
They're in the media.
You can't.
Yeah, of course, Charlotte's not a journalist.
Right. But what I think the difference is what happened, I think Cornel West truly believed what Obama was saying. People like Al Sharpton, as he said, he didn't campaign on helping black folks. Hello. So since he went with that already, I feel like Cornel West said, damn, I really thought something was going to happen. And then Al Sharpton is basically thinking, well, further along the road, we need to have legitimate black president because overall we need to make sure that this can happen again, that black folks aren't minimized in this country. He's not even thinking that the president's going to do anything. That's not even his primary focus. For some reason, I don't agree with that. But I feel like Cornel West is really upset that he believed in him, and then got fooled. And then Al Sharpton's like, well, at least for him, maybe we can invest in black folks for later. Long game.
Yeah, but again, that makes me greatly sympathize with Cornel West. Because Al Sharpton is saying, like, you didn't know the scam we were running? And by the way, get a load of this part of the scam, which is that a lot of people say, no, don't worry about it. Wait till President Obama's second term, then he'll do something. Now the new thing is, no, wait till the second black president, he'll do something. Oh, for Christ's sake. Cornel West, say whatever you want, if that's their attitude.
All right. What do you think about that? What do you have to say? Everybody, anybody got a comment? Everybody, anybody speak? We'll take anybody's comment at this point because we told him it was a scam when it happened. We tried to tell him when he was running for president who he was and what the plan was. And every black person in America went to Highland 44 Oh, everybody was praising 44. It's the 44th president, 44. And we tried to tell you then who he was and what he was and how it was going to go down, and nobody believed us. And now he said in his out his own mouth he wasn't going to help us. So then who going to help us? Are we going to help ourselves, or are we just going to sit down and let it go in the toilet? What you going to do, Israel? Will the real Israel please stand up? Brother Adonia, you have any comment? Please push one if you have something to say. We want to hear from you today because we have a lot of people on this line and everybody's just listening. Wonder what you have to say. We want to hear it. Please push one. Go ahead, Brother Adonia.
Kane, see, all of those people, first of all, there's nothing that Obama could do for blacks at all. He has to have this agenda of unification of all the nations. You understand? He has to have that program. You understand? Because policy has already been set up years and years ago when they put in the constitutions and all of these agencies and things. They have already set up, man. They have already made. They have already gotten together. Against us, you understand? We got to realize that we are not included in their heavens is our hell, you understand? So if we don't do anything, you understand? We don't take charge of our own destiny, you understand? And stop thinking about or depending on them to do something. We need to set up our own industries, you understand? And make and let the nations know who we are. That would be letting the nations know when we start setting up our own industries, have a chain of grocery stores. You understand? We need all of those things. We can do these things. We the same people that put together every captivity that we've ever been in. We the same people that was in all of those agencies, man, from the White House down to the outhouse. You understand? So we the ones that could do this. You understand? We can come together as a united body and start talking about how we can get out of this mess. This is a major. This is if we don't do nothing. You understand? We're gonna keep getting what we get. You understand?
That's
and
right.
That is nothing. You understand?
That's right.
50 years ago, they marched on Washington for the same thing. They marched on Washington. A month ago, you understand? So we already know that they're not going to do anything for us. So it's on us to do it. You understand? Now, like I said earlier, our only job is to gather together. Imagine if we had to bring a club to this fight, or we had to start fighting our way back to the understanding. We'd perish. You understand? The Almighty is going to be able to straighten out everything else. Our only job is to gather ourselves so that He'll have something to work with when He get ready to bring us back into the land. And we're going back into the land. We can't dismiss that. You understand? We can't just not say that we are not going back in the land. Everybody on this line, that whether they're Messianic or black nationalists or anything, you got to understand that we're going back into the land. It might not be right away. Of course it's not going to be right away because the place got to be straightened out. It's going to be towed down, you understand, during the time of Ezra, you understand, and Nehemiah. They went back to build the temples. To rebuild Jerusalem. You understand? So we got to understand this here. I know, it's not what everybody wants to hear, but we need to check them scriptures out and see for sure what they talking about in the scriptures. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. And you know what's so sad is here in Cincinnati, somebody told me they were sleeping out on a corner waiting for Devereaux to open up so they could get the new Jordans. Black people. Hebrew Israelites lying around the corner, sleeping outside to get a new pair of gym shoes. I mean, this is the state that we're in, and we got to do something. I mean, real talk. I mean, it is it's sad. I mean, it really is. It's really sad. You know, it's sad. We got to do something. You got to stand up and do something. I mean, really. You know, there's a lot of people out there that are doing what they feel like they need to do. you know, and that's a beautiful thing. But we've got to come together collectively, because are we watching the fall of an empire? Are we watching? Because everybody's sitting around saying, well, no, that ain't what's going on right now. It's just, it's going to get better. Things are going to get better. Believe you me, something is going on right now that we're watching with our own two eyes, and everybody's making excuses for it and trying to minimize what's happening. And the Most High, and I'm going to say this again, for all of you all of you Morays and all you Kohans that are listening to the sound of my voice, under the sound of my voice, the Most High has given us a mandate to build a nation. Now, you don't have to believe it if you don't want to. It really doesn't matter at this point. Because one thing about it, obedience is better than sacrifice. All we're saying to you is we've all got to stand up and come together collectively and stop being so segregated and separated, because this thing is going to get real bad here in a minute. And anytime they can cut the food stamp program, and Obama just announced he's getting ready to invest $600 million in the advertisement of Obamacare, come on, everybody. I mean, what else has to happen? As a nation, what else do we have to, what do you need to see? Do the sky need to turn black and the sirens need to run before everybody realizes it's late in the hour? Because it's late in the hour, people. It's late in the hour.
Hello, hello.
So, I mean, I'm here, Brother Donia, at this moment. I'm just going to tell everybody before he speaks, if you have a question or comment, or you just don't, you disagree with us, because you're allowed to disagree. That's what this show is all about. Everybody gets a chance to make their comment known, and we talk about it. We deal with it, and we talk about it. So please push one if you have a question, a comment, concern, you have some information, anything. Just push one, because we want to hear what you have to say. Go ahead, Brother Donia. I'm sorry.
I didn't mean to interrupt you. I was just getting back to the phone just to find out whether you was on the line or not. But I do want to say this. My son put this on my Facebook page. And it says,
you got a Facebook page?
It's better we change. Hello?
I'm here. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
Yeah. It says, it's better we change on our own terms than to wait for change to be forced on us. Now, that makes me think that if we don't make no change, you understand, they're going to start making a change for us. And you know what that has been done in the past. You understand? We always we always become the last people on the totem pole. You understand? Malcolm X said this: we put them first, and they put us last. And I want to add to that. If they put us in there at all, because we haven't benefited nothing through this 400 years. You understand? We got an opportunity to learn who we are. Now it's time to find out how we can get out this mess. You understand? And it's all written in the scriptures, and it's about us. If we want this whole world to turn around, we the people that's going to do it. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. You know what you said about there is just, you know, it's just it's imperative that we began to wake up. It's imperative we began to stand up. I mean, you know, and I know that, like you said, if you're scared, stay scared. If Congress is scared, I guess we can't get mad at the Hebrew Israelites for being scared. I mean, it's a scary situation, but at the end of the day, so it comes down to this. Either you believe what you read or don't. It ain't no in the middle. It ain't no straddling the fence. If you believe that Yahweh is the Almighty and that he controls and rules everything, then you don't have to be scared, because he's going to cover us no matter what happens. And that's the power that we stand on. We don't rest on anything less. The foundation is sure. It's just a matter of fact of whether or not you believe it. Because, see, you can say one thing out of your mouth, but your actions, you know, speak so loud that we can't really hear what you're saying. You got to stand up, you know, because at the end of the day, we're going to stand up and we're going. You know, again, for those who are going to Washington, D.C. with us, please make your reservations at Comfort Inn by the 11th. The discount will be over. You will not be able to make a reservation under the discount. The code word for the discount is NOYUNY. Our website address is www.NOYUNY2013march.com. We're going to the grounds of the Capitol building. We will have Unconscious Israel with us, and we will get an opportunity to deposit some things into Unconscious Israel, some nationality, some ethnicity things, and to let them know who they are. We will provide solutions to the problem. even though we're not on the floor of Congress, we're on the grounds of the Capitol building where Congress is being held, and we're going to proclaim some things in the air and let them know what's really going on and how we get out of this mess. So, I mean, you know, we've had a lot of controversy. A lot of people have come up against us and had negative things to say, you know, but at the end of the day, most of those people are sitting in front of their TV with a bag of potato chips and a pop, talking about the solution at home. That's not going to help nobody. At home, behind your closed doors, is not going to help us as a nation. So would the real leaders of Israel please stand up? Would the real people of Israel please stand up and support us? Even if you can't come, I tell you what we will need. We're going to need some people that have a spirit of intercessory. We're going to need some people that can't make it, that have a spirit that prays, that can go before the Most High and cover us while we're yet there and be a prayer warrior for us while we're walking in this calling and doing what we need to do. So, you know, it's a whole lot of things going on that we're proud of. It's a whole lot of things going on that we're very cautious of. We don't take it lightly. We know where we're going. We know we're going in the belly of the beast. We know that we're walking up into a city, you know, that's highly demonic. You know, we have a man of color in that office, and he runs that office, but he made it very clear that the black agenda is not his agenda, but has to be ours. It's simple as that. I mean, it's just that simple.
That is correct. You understand? We're responsible for one another. We're responsible to bring this nation back. That's why we here today, because we supposed to be the people's. You understand? The elders supposed to be standing up and talking about how we need to get out this mess. You understand? Not sitting back and waiting for whatever to happen. We know what's going to happen if we don't do nothing. It'll be like the Valley of the Dry Bones, man. You understand? Ooh. The reason for the dry bones, the reason that is so mentioned about the dry bones is because them bones was dead for a long time in order to be dry bones. And after the dry bones start deteriorating, they become dust. And what does that mean? That means that they will be no more. You understand? So I liken that to this day and time. You understand? We become extinct as a nation if we don't do anything for our own benefit. This is, you know, when we say we're going to stand up for Yah, we benefit. We the ones that benefit. The Almighty said He was going to bring us back into the land, flowing with milk and honey. That's a benefit for us, especially after this place get tore all up. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. And is it about to get tore all up? I'm glad you brought that up because it's going to bring me to a next clip. Now, we've heard what our people have to say. Let's hear what their people have to say about the decline of America. We want you to pay real close attention. This is a two-hour-long clip. Of course, I'm not going to do that. I'm only going to give you about 4 minutes. But I want you to pay close attention to the breakdown of how they put this situation and where we are. All right, here we go.
Your most recent book, The World As It Is, dispatches on the myth of human progress. You write, brace yourself, the American empire is over, and the descent is going to be horrifying. How did you come to that conclusion?
Well, first of all, I spent 20 years on the outer reaches of empire as a foreign correspondent. So I've seen an aspect of empire that most people have not, unless you're in the military or perhaps the foreign service. And I think all of the red signs, the sort of red warning signs are there. I think also the fact that I spent so long outside the United States gave me a kind of perspective when I returned. I understood how radically the country had changed in the two decades that I was away. I think for those who had remained within the borders of the United States, those changes had been more incremental and perhaps less perceptible.
What are some of the symptoms, the signs that the American empire is
The biggest sign is the fact that we are following the trajectory of all empires, which is that they expand beyond their capacity to sustain themselves. We have run up the largest deficits in human history, which in the bottom line is we can't repay it. We have done so at the cost of our infrastructure, our public education, our working class. We're hollowing the country out from the inside, and the physical evidence is all around us, plunging roughly one-third of Americans into poverty or near poverty, according to the latest statistics. Our bridges, our roads are collapsing. Libraries are being closed. Fire stations are being closed. These are the signs of a nation or let's call it an empire, that is reaching a kind of a terminal point. And if we don't radically rechart our course, then the collapse is going to be very frightening and very chaotic.
In Empire of Illusion, which you wrote and published in 2009, you write, "Those captive images cast ballots based on how candidates make them feel. They vote for a slogan, a smile, perceived sincerity and attractiveness, along with the carefully crafted personal narrative of the candidate. It is style and story, not content and fact, that inform mass politics."
Precisely. And structure of the corporate state, as well as the imperial state, remains untouched. It doesn't really matter which political party holds office. The policies of George W. Bush have been assiduously carried out, for the large part, by Barack Obama. And even figures like Dick Cheney have confirmed this, whether it is the so-called war on terror, the refusal to restore habeas corpus, the eavesdropping, wiretapping, and monitoring of tens of millions of Americans, which under our Constitution should be illegal, passed for the FISA Reform Act, which Barack Obama supported, whether it is the looting of the U.S. Treasury on behalf of Wall Street. All of these are policies which are bipartisan, and that is because we have undergone, I think, in the last few decades, a kind of slow-motion coup d'etat, a corporate coup d'etat, whereby the citizen is rendered impotent, and it is solely the interests of corporations which are paramount within the circles of the power elite. I mean, one could take many examples, but Obamacare would be a good one. I share the right wing's critique of Obamacare. It's a disastrous bill. It was written by corporate lobbyists, 2,000 pages of it. It is essentially the equivalent of the bank bailout bill for the pharmaceutical and insurance industry, $400 billion in subsidies. Meanwhile, the White House handed out exemptions because these corporations do not want to insure chronically ill children. I mean, think of it in moral terms. It really means that we live in a country where it is now legally permissible for corporations, for-profit corporations, to hold sick children hostage while their parents frantically bankrupt themselves trying to save their sons or daughters. This is the kind of world the corporate state creates, and the Democrats and the Republicans are both handmaidens of corporate interests, which is why Congress has such a low approval rating. I mean, the American public's not fooled by this.
In 2010, Death of the Liberal Class came out. Here's a quote: "The election of Obama was one more triumph of illusion over substance. It was a skillful manipulation and betrayal of the public by a corporate power elite. We mistook style and ethnicity, an advertising tactic pioneered by Calvin Klein and Benetton, for progressive politics and genuine change."
Sure, Obama functioned as a brand. Now remember, 2008, the financial collapse, Wall Street was terrified. They thought they'd been found out. They thought they would have to pay a price for their criminal activity, fraudulent activity, and malfeasance. And Obama functioned as a brand in the same way that people of color or HIV-positive models were used by Benetton and Calvin Klein to associate their products with a risque lifestyle and progressive politics. But as with the function of all brands, we confused a brand with an experience. Obama won Advertising Age's top annual award, Marketer of the Year, because the professionals knew precisely what he had done. He beat Nike, Apple, Zappos. And that's what he was. He, you know, to quote Cornel West, became essentially a black mascot for Wall Street.
All right. What do you guys got to say about that? I mean, he says the empire is crumbling. I mean, we're watching this thing happen, and it's happening right before our eyes. And what does Israel have to say about it? If you have a question, comment, concern, please push 1. We want to hear from you because, I mean, these are the analysts, the political analysts that are watching the crumbling of an empire. And like he said, there are key signs to where you can realize that something serious is happening in this country. And we have to pay attention
because it's going to get bad. I mean, it's really going to get bad. Brother, if you have a question, comment, concern, we want to hear from you, please push one. I mean, we've been pushing nation building, nation building, nation building. We need to become a nation, nation building, nation building. Eventually, the government programs are going to be shut down. Someone brought something across my desk not too long ago where they said that the welfare program is going to be minimized to only, you're only going to get benefits for two children. If you have eight children, all you're going to get benefits for is two. You're going to get food stamp benefits for two children, and that's it, no matter what's going on. So, I mean, you know, all of the programs, some people be like, well, you don't need to be on welfare anyway. You need to get a job. There are none. I mean, when you really think about it, there's a skeleton crew working in this country. And then the people that are working are not making no more than, what, $10, $11 an hour? I made that 20-some years ago.
I know that's right.
So what do we do? I mean, what do we do, Israel? What do we do? What are you going to do? Brother Donnie, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, that's all right. I love it when you tell the truth. You know, it's a sad, sad day if we don't recognize, you understand? I know that, there's nothing that they can do. They don't have any solutions for these problems here. You understand? The financial institute for this these United States is going to pot, man. They got over $15 trillion deficits, you understand, that they say they're never going to be able to pay back. One thing I know that the European is doing, they're building underground bunkers. You understand? I was watching TV, man. They got underground bunkers all throughout Colorado and the mountains.
Yeah.
You understand? Guess what? They got a pound of weapons, all kinds of weapons.
Oh, yeah.
They got cameras set outside their place. I mean the latest stuff. You understand? They got these bunkers, they cost upward in the neighborhood of $70,000 to $400,000. They spending on these bunkers, underground bunkers, because they expect something to go down real bad, as though it saved them. But it may save them for a while, but it's not going to save them entirely. You understand? Because the Almighty is true to His word. He said He's going to tear this place up, and it's going to be tore up. And America's going to suffer the worst of it, you understand, because it's not supposed to never rise up again. Not no dynasty like they got going on now. All over the world, they talk about America. They want to get back anybody. People in Africa want to come to America, you understand, with the land of the free, you understand. We ain't got nothing free yet.
It's some serious stuff. I mean, you know, we're watching it right before our eyes. You know, we're watching it crumble. Like I said, when they give us the ball, the game is over. And when they give us the opportunity, for real talk, when they give a black man, they have had a man of color as the most powerful man in the world. That's the B team. When the B team gets the ball, it's only about, what, 3 to maybe 5 seconds left in the game, or maybe 10. And once that's over with and he's running, because all he's doing is furthering the agenda of the previous administration to make sure that he completes what he has to complete. And then after that's over, guess what? He's going to take his family and go protect his family and do what he needs to do. And then Israel's going to be left standing calling on y'all. And y'all saying, look, I gave you the opportunity. I told you what to do. All you got to do is come together, because once we come together, we can feed each other. We're stronger in numbers, and we'll be able to take care of each other. You know what they're doing now? They're putting a chip in everybody. Some of the new TV shows that they got out, they're already writing it in the script for the television show, the RFID chip that they're putting in people's arms. That's a part of Obamacare, people. For those who don't know, the RFID chip is a part of Obamacare. They're going to chip you. They're planning on putting a radio frequency chip the size of a grain of rice in your arm that's going to store your medical information and your financial information. That's right. They're planning on chipping you. So I'm telling you, they are doing some serious, they're getting some serious things in place. The reason why we're marching also is that we are not acknowledged as a nation of people. We're marching because we're marching for the exemption that they have given other groups of people. They've given it to the Indians. They've given it to the Amish people.
they've given it to several different groups of people that they've given exemptions to that we didn't even know anything about. Why? Because we're not a nation of people. They consider us to be African American, where we don't have to even get Obamacare. But you know what happens? Nobody wants to stand up. Nobody wants to acknowledge the fact that they're Hebrew Israelites. Nobody wants to say, hey, I'll go with you, because guess what? You know what they say? Who gave you the right to lead? Who told you were supposed to be out in front? Somebody got to stand up, and if the Most High gave it to us, we're going to do it. So, you know, this is where the rubber really meets the road, and this is where we have to pay attention. Because you know what? I'm going to tell you something. They got gay bishops. Let me say it again. They got gay bishops. Let me say it again. They got gay pastors. Somebody even said, we got gay Hebrew Israelites. I don't even know how that's possible, but that's what I was told. But you know what? I'm going to tell you something. There are certain key things that's going to bring the Most High, and one of those things is the moral decay of the relationship between the male and the female, the marriage and the husband and the wife. When you start, they passed a law that says that a man can be classified as a wife and a female can be classified as a husband. And if that is the case and that's done, it's over, people. Because the same thing happened in Sodom and Gomorrah, and the Most High came and tore the place up. I'm telling you all, this is it. I'm going to give you another key indication. One world government, that's not new. For all of you all that's listening, there's nothing new under the sun. Guess who tried it? Nimrod tried it. Nimrod tried it at the Tower of Babel, and there was one people with one language, with one purpose, a one world government. And guess what happened? The Most High came. I'm telling you all, there are things and key indicators that are happening right now that's going to bring wrath down upon these people, and we got to come together because we can't be apart anymore. It's imperative that we come together because health care is not going to be available to you if you don't get chipped. Food is not going to be available to you if they don't chip you. I mean, those are the basic things that we need to be able to take care of ourselves. We're going to end up having to live together eventually. This is going to get bad.
That is correct. That is correct. You understand? We can't imagine how bad. All we have to do is look on the TV and see if they go to this program, this news station. It's CNN, but it's CNN, and they talk and they give the news from all the eastern countries where the United States went over there and destroyed that whole land. You understand? They got people hungry, roaming the streets, going into other countries, living all their coat, everything that they own. They got it on a stick hanging off the back of their neck. You understand? I'm telling you, you know, ooh-wee. You understand? They got people living in caves, I'm sure. You understand? And if you look at how they done destroyed and tore up the whole place over there, you understand? I mean, and it's going to be worse here. So we got to find a solution to our problem here. You understand? Yeah. We got, you know, the Almighty said this, and this is a commandment by the Almighty, that we should gather ourselves. You understand? Yeah. So I mean, if we don't gather ourselves, we're in breach of that commandment. You understand? Now, we can't continuously go on and be and expect the Almighty to work for us. You understand? If we are not going to do nothing for our own self. So, I always said that, you know, when my son comes back home, you understand, after going out and doing contrary to what I taught him, and he has to come back home, you understand, he got to show me. You understand that he's ready to come back home and do the right. You understand? He can't just say that out of his mouth. You understand? He said that the last time, and I gave him all I could. That's the same thing that the Almighty did. You understand? This time we had to be punished. We're supposed to recognize that. We're supposed to recognize all the things that we did, you understand, to get us in the position that we're in today and what we are doing today. You understand? Now, I mean, if you find that I'm saying something wrong, you understand, and you don't agree with me, you understand, look at it for yourself. You understand? Take a hard look at it. See where we at. And if you find out where we at, find out how we going to get out this mess. Hallelujah.
Mm-hmm. Hallelujah. I want to give you guys this YouTube clip that they're talking about. It's called Why is America in Decline? Chris Hedges on the U.S. Empire and Destruction and Death of the Liberal Class of 2012. So, I mean, you know, if you guys want to just listen to this, because it's a two-hour-long clip, and, you know, when you think about it from their perspective, they make a whole lot of sense. It's not getting any better. The game is up. I mean, when Kissinger, Henry Kissinger, you can YouTube that, got on television and said, we are priming Barack Obama to be the leader of the one world government. That came out of his mouth. So
okay.
Once he's finished with America, he's moving on to the European Union, and he's going to be the leader of the one world government. It doesn't stop. I'm telling you people, this goes, the rabbit hole is so deep, the rabbit ain't even in it no more. I'm telling you, these things are taking us, and everybody's sitting, and yes, we should be excited because it means that we're on our way up out of here, but in the meantime, before we leave here, if you don't really pay attention, it's going to be some rough times. I mean, some rough times, because a lot of Israel is on subsidized housing. A lot of Israel is getting subsidies from the government. All that stuff going to shut down if you don't let them put that chip in your arm. All that stuff is getting ready to shut down. They're getting ready to try to control the government, just like Nimrod did. They're going to have a one-world government and a one-world leader. You know, and these are the things that we need to start paying attention to, you know, and don't think that you just going, it's going to be just business as usual, and then, poof, the angels going to come and get us, and poof, we're going to be up out of here. Uh-uh. They ain't never been that easy, and they're going to never be that easy. It's never been that easy.
You know why there's not going to be no poof? And all, you know, the Almighty could just wave his hand and everything be all right. But we got to be the ones, we got to feel it in our heart and on our souls, all the things that put us in this position, you understand? And what it took for us to get out of this position. By the hand of the Almighty, he will help us get out this spot, you understand? He is our sun and shield, you understand? He is our rock, you understand? All we got to do is stand up. You understand? In the name of the Almighty, put things in place. When we put things in place, he's not doing it for the Almighty. He don't need us. You understand? Mm-hmm. Doing it for our own self. We doing it, and we got to do it in the name of the Almighty. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. I mean, we just talking among ourselves, and I guess they just want to hear us talk. But, you know, if you have a question or you want to come in on the conversation, please push 1. We'll leave your mic over because we want to hear what you have to say. I know we have some teachers on the line. We have some mores on the line. I see your phone numbers. You know, don't be afraid to speak. You know, it's because this is the time where we need to talk. Everything is out in the open. We don't hide anything. We're not hiding from the government. I'm sure they listen to my phone calls when I'm not on the air talking to you. So, you know, there's nothing that I can't say now that I won't say then. And if I have an opportunity to speak to the powers that be, the one thing that I would let them know is, you know, what you're doing is definitely going to bring wrath down on you because the Most High is coming.
Is correct.
I mean, that's just, it's just simple as that. He is coming, and it's going to be it's a done deal. Just keep on doing what you're doing because he's definitely coming. And when he comes, you'll know. And, you know, unfortunately, Israel, some of Israel just going to be lost. They're going to perish. They're going to perish.
Ooh.
And a lot of them are going to be the ones who think they know how this thing is going to play out.
Yep.
Those are the ones that's probably going to end up perishing is the ones that they think they know how this thing is going to play out. They think they know what the Most High is getting ready to do. And you know, you cannot begin to understand what his plan is and how he plans on doing what he's doing. You can't begin to understand what it is and how, because his ways are not our ways. And his thoughts are not our thoughts. As far as from the east is from the west, is his thoughts from our thoughts. There's no way you can even try to figure out, because if you think you know how he's coming, he'll end up and turn the whole game around and come in a whole other direction. And before you know it, what you thought was going to be the plan is not going to be. And the reason why I say that is because we have to get back to our spirituality. We have to get back and come together and pray. Even though we're not a religion, we're a spiritual people. And even though we're not a religion, we're spiritual people that's connected to the Most High. And we got to get rid of all of our carnality and get ready to listen so that our ears can be attentive to what the Spirit is going to tell us to do, because only that's what leads and guides us into all truth, is the Ruach. So, you know, these are the things that we're talking about today. If you have a question, comment, or concern, please push 1. We want to hear what you have to say, because we got Atlanta, we got Cincinnati, we got New York, we got Florida on the line, we got people from Texas on the line, we got people from Virginia, everybody's calling in all over the country. We need to hear you. We need to hear what is your solution. What do you, if you had one thing to say to us as a nation while this empire is crumbling right around us in front of our eyes, what would you tell the communities? What are the things that we need to do to prepare ourselves and to be ready? We want to hear what you have to say. Please push one. Brother Adoni asked why they're trying to get that together. Do you have anything else you want to say? Because, you know, when you think about Cornel West, you know, he's a professor at Princeton University. His specialty is religion and African-American ethnicity. That's what he's
talking about. I'll lay you dollars a donut. He don't know nothing about Israel. I never heard him say anything about the Creator.
They don't even believe it. You know why they don't accept it? Because it's Bible-based. And because we've been led to believe that that Bible is the book of a religion, and that is the book of a history of a people. Yeah. You know, so anything that's Bible-based, they're associated with religion. So when you start coming out of the Bible as a history book, people can't handle it, and they dismiss it. But it's not to be dismissed, because believe me, one thing about that book is it comes to pass on a dime. Everything that's in that book is going to play out the way it says it's going to play out. And nobody's going to be able to dispute it in any kind of way. So, I mean, you
that
know, those
correct.
Are the things that causes the problem, because man wants you to believe that, you know, it's a religion because the.
Hello, hello. You didn't cut yourself off, did you? Hello. Am I cut off?
Anytime I get a chance to set my eyes on the artistic genius and literary jazz man of Mary Baraka, it just extends years to my life. It's a blessing to have you here. And for the brothers who spoke so eloquently, whose voices consecrated this evening, resilience, resistance, and when I saw you take the picture together, I could see Nat Turner and John Brown. Oh, yes. Oh, yes. I could see the workers moving in the 1890s. I could see the brothers and sisters on the corner watch 1965 in Detroit and 67 in Newark and 67 and 212 rebellions the night Brother Martin Luther King was shot down like a dog. 1 year after he gave his Beyond Vietnam speech to bring poor people together, bring a critique to bear on the viciousness of American imperialism. That's what we're talking about here. That's what we're talking about here. So 40 years later, we come back to commemorate this struggle against the historical backdrop of a people who have been so terrorized and traumatized and stigmatized, that we have been taught to be scared, intimidated, always afraid, distrustful of one another, and disrespectful of one another. But the Atticus Rebellion was a counter move in that direction. I call it the niggerization of a people, not just black people, because America has been niggerized since 9/11. When you niggerize, you're unsafe, unprotected, subject to random violence, hated for who you are. You become so scared that you defer to the powers that be, and you're willing to consent to your own domination.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's the history of black people in America. That's the history of black people in America. Anytime you look the terror in the face and you deal with the trauma, even if maybe all you could do is sing a song and let us never forget the summer of 1971, the number one album in America was What's Going On by a genius named Marvin Gaye. What's going on? Who really cares? Save the baby. What's happening, brother? And Donnie Hathaway was in on the sideline. And so was Nina Simone. And so was Gil Scott-Heron. And so was Pharrell Sanders and Miles Davis and others. You had a whole context in which you can look the terror and trauma and stigma in the face and say, we go. Stand the way Sly Stone said that same year in his album. That's what we're talking about. And we live now in revolutionary times, but the counter-revolution is winning. The counter-revolution is winning. The greedy oligarchs and plutocrats are winning. One out of four
probably of all colors, each one precious, 42% of America's children live in poverty or near poverty. That is sick. It's a moral obscenity. It's a national disgrace. And yet, we have a political class, no matter what color they are, that won't say a mumbling word about that poverty. Why? Because it sits outside of the give and throw between a right-wing, mean-spirited Republican Party run by the oligarchs and plutocrats and a spineless Democratic Party that's got ties to the oligarchs and plutocrats, and the poor people get left out. They get in business, disposal. And yet we see the same brothers in the 1950s and 60s who were coming out of socially neglected and economically abandoned spaces called the ghetto by Donny Hathaway. By Donny Hathaway, when he said ghetto, that wasn't disgrace, that wasn't demeaning. If you from the ghetto, the way he talked about it, you straightened your back up. You got your mind together. You had love in your heart for your brother and sister on the block. And it started on the chocolate side of town, but it spilled over to the vanilla side and the red side and the yellow side and the brown side, too. The unity that we had in Attica among the black and brown, and I saw some white brothers, too.
All right. What do y'all have to say about that? What do you have to say about what he just said? And look at what he references as a reference for people. He references R&B artists, you know what I'm saying? The whole dynamic of us as a people being royalty, all that's gone. I mean, everything about us has to be centered around music, dancing, singing, and entertainment. That the messages that we have received as a people is only given to us by the people that they have allowed to be out the front to give us the message that they want us to have. So what do you have to say about that one? Hello? Let me see if I can get somebody on the line. Area code 111, go ahead, you're on the air.
Again, this is Brother Moshe. I heard that. Thank you for allowing me to speak again. I heard that, and the brother so eloquently put that. But what we're still continuing to miss is what thus said the Almighty. And what I mean by that is we've tried listening to other leaders tell us what we should do and how we should do it, but we tend to never ever try what is written. And I would like to say this for the listening audience that's listening. That put this close to your mind and to your heart in the book of Chronicles, 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter and 14th verse. And it reads, "If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sin and heal their land." He's laying out a blueprint for us to do. Humble ourselves, seek his face, pray, and turn from our wicked ways. That's why nothing is working. We have never did this. Now, today, the Israelites, I'm not going to say Israelites because most people probably don't know what that is. I'll say the black race of America and abroad that came to their places by way of slave ships. We have to begin with humbling ourselves, pray, and seek his face, and then turn from our wicked ways. You can go before Congress and go before the people of the world today and pray and ask for anything. But if we're not being humble and turning from our wicked ways, we still won't have nothing coming because Yah gave us instructions on what to do. So again, I say, do what Yah say do. Humble yourselves, pray,
seek his face and turn from your wicked ways. Then he said he'll heal the land. But until then, Cornel West, Al Sharpton, Jesse Jackson, Farrakhan, the major pastors all over the world that throw 1,000 groups, marches, pickets, T-shirts, breakfasts, prayer vigils, none of that is going to mean nothing until they follow the instructions of the Almighty Yah, and he laid it out for us in the scriptures. So I said that to say this. Everybody that speak, nobody mentions the Almighty Yah. Nobody tells us to turn from our wicked ways as a people, because we are wicked as hell people. We're very wicked. We're disrespectful. We're killing one another. We're lying to each other. We're raping our women, cheating on our wives, abandoning our children. All of this is going on in the communities all over the earth. So we need to address what Yah say do first. Tell these brothers to turn from their wicked ways. When you start by doing that, then he said he will heal the land. But until then, tell the brothers and sisters the truth. You're wicked. I don't care how many marches you have. Not you. I'm saying in general. Al Sharpton's march, Farrakhan march, all these marches. The people are wicked as hell that show up. They're not telling them to turn from their wicked ways. These so-called leaders that's influencing these marches and our so-called leaders of the world today, they're not telling the people the truth. Tell these people in the hood, you wicked. You wicked as hell. You're a liar, and the truth not in you. And until you turn from your wicked ways, the Most High is not going to hear from you. You could participate in 1,000 marches, but you're still wicked as hell. And Yah said he's not respect the person. And he don't forget nothing. He knows who's wicked, and he knows who's righteous. So if the people that's in charge of the marches and whatever, and they wicked, then what do you think the outcome's going to be? Yah doesn't deal like that. He's righteous, he's holy, and he's pure, and he's clean. And he doesn't really deal with filth like that that's coming in his name. Satan tried it, and what is his outcome? Shalom, shalom, sister. I thank you for letting me say that, and I hope you all let that meditate in your spirit. Turn from your wicked ways, and then let Yah heal you and heal the land. Shalom.
Shalom, shalom. Brother Moshe, I have a question for you. So what do you say about Israel? Because Israel has come into the knowledge of who they are. They've turned from their ways. They've been praying. So what is the reason why the nation of Israel is in the condition that it's in?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked that. We are in the conditions that we're in. Those that know the truth, those that are seeking the truth, and those that are trying their best to do what thus said the Almighty Yah. One thing we cannot escape is we are living in a strange land. We can't escape that. Some rules and regulations we have to abide by that may not be righteous according to Torah, but we have to do it because we're in a strange land. Most of us can't keep the Sabbath because we have to work. That's it. Yah isn't pleased with that. But instead, some of us do. Some of us are in situations that we can't get out of to feed ourselves because we're not at home. Keep this in mind. Hell has broke loose throughout the world in black communities that are Hebrew Israelites by way of slave ships, according to Torah, because we're not home. None of us is home. None of us is. So to go to the slave master, to the capital, like Al Sharpton, Farrakhan, all of them did, and holler to the slave master, please listen to us. Listen, please, please. But Yah says, seek me. Seek my face. As a nation, we have not done that. We have not done that. Nowhere have we done that as a nation yet. We're gathering to go to the white man. And pardon my French, I'm not being disrespectful, saying white man. We're gathering together to go talk to the Gentile. Gentile, listen to us. But Yah says, seek me. That's not Yah.
gather ourselves. Gather ourselves where? On the Capitol? Or gather ourselves in our communities? In our respective cities, go to all them brothers in the hood and talk to them. Start by telling the first brother you see, hey, man, put the gun down and stop shooting your neighbor. Start with that. Go to these widows, women that their husband and boyfriends have been killed on the street and their children are being raised fatherless. Start with that. That's not, our help is not going to be in Washington. That's not the instructions y'all gave us. He said, gather ourselves. But he didn't say gather ourselves and go beg the Gentile. We want you to acknowledge us. No, I want Yah to acknowledge us because he turned his back on us. I don't give a rat's tail if the Gentile acknowledge me. I just want Yah to acknowledge me because he said, seek ye after the kingdom first and everything else will be added unto you. We have to seek Yah. And once we do that, he'll give us everything our hearts desire. And I mean everything. We have turning from your wicked ways. Have you been cursing out your wife? Stop doing it. Have you been neglecting your children? Stop doing that. If you haven't been the man that you should be to your family, get better. You do right. If you see your neighbor beating the hell out of his wife, go tell that brother to stop or you're going to deal with him. That's how you deal with that. I don't want that Gentile to help me raise my children. I prefer to do it myself because I'm going to do it according to Torah. And it's going to be unrighteousness. The heathen said you can't even spank your children no more. You'll go to jail. I don't need him to tell me how to raise my children. I don't need him even to acknowledge me. I want Yah to. Yah created him. Yah said he'll make your enemies your footstool. If I'm obedient to Yah and turn from my wicked ways, I ain't got to worry about what the Gentile going to do. Yah straighten them up for me. He'll make him my footstool. And what is a footstool? A stool is something you stand on when you're reaching for something higher. He will just be a stumping stool for me. But we have to seek Yah first. That's why I asked last week, what's the agenda for the march? All these brothers and sisters coming out. What's on the topic? The first thing should be coming out of people's mouths. Humble yourselves and turn from your wicked ways. We as a nation of people are wicked. That's why we are in captivity now. Because of our forefathers. And our forefathers weren't even halfway as bad as we are today. We are terrible people. We don't even know Yah. We don't know how to pray. We don't know when to pray. We don't keep the Sabbath day. Not at all. We argue over high days. Some of us believe this. Some of us believe that. We are a screwed up nation of people. We have to start with first things first. Gather ourselves and seek out Yah. Beg him for his mercy. Have mercy on our children, Father. Have mercy on my children that's growing up, my young babies. Have mercy on them for my iniquities and my wickedness, because I did a whole lot of wicked in my past. I'm not sweeping that under the rug. Y'all know I did. But I'm begging him, Father. I know I asked you for your forgiveness, but please, have mercy on my children. I don't want no man doing to my daughters what I did to some of these sisters out here, whoremongering with them, lying to them, deceiving them. Y'all, please, I got three daughters. Don't let no man do that to mine. Please, Father, I'm more concerned with begging Yah to have mercy on me, mine, and the nation of Israel, and all these innocent children out here that's getting gunned down in the streets, and these women are getting raped, demeaned, talked about, trashed, making them feel like they're garbage. I don't need the Gentile to tell me how to do that. I know I'm an Israelite. I don't give a rat's tail if he ever acknowledged me as being an Israelite. I know what Yah told me I was. And I believe that. So as a nation of people, again, let's start with our neighbor. Let's start with the brother across the street, the woman that's up the block, that's lost. Half of us out here don't know we Israel. The average brother in the hood don't know who they are. Start with that. In Washington, D.C., can't change none of that. None of that. Because I didn't read that in the Bible. I read, Yah told us to gather ourselves and seek him. Turn from my wicked ways.
All right, all right. I think we got disconnected. Hold on, I got another one. Area code 513-221. Go ahead, you're on the air.
Shalom. Can you hear me?
Shalom. Yes, ma'am.
Yes, this is Sister Deborah from Cincinnati. I want to totally agree with the brother that just spoke. I used to attend the House of Israel in Cincinnati, and I attended it for a long time, and Yah put me there to discipline my flesh. Once my flesh was disciplined, he started to show me a lot of things that was going on in the House of Israel, and arrogance and hatred are the two things that he showed me. He also showed me a lot of scriptures. Now, I'm blind, so I can't read the scripture, but if somebody has a scripture available, I like for somebody to read Isaiah, the first chapter, starting at verse 17. If they wouldn't mind.
Hold on one moment. Isaiah, the first
okay.
chapter.
Okay.
One. Right now. Okay, Isaiah, the first chapter, verse number, you said 17?
Yes, ma'am.
All right, it said, learn to do well, seek judgment, relieve the oppressed, judge the fatherless, and plead for the widow.
Praise the Most High. The Most High is asking us, let us reason together. The Most High wants us to turn from our wicked ways and to love one another. When he says love me, he means to love our brothers and sisters. Our nation is lacking a lot of love. There's a lot of anger. There's a lot of disappointment. There's a lot of lack of hope. There's a lack of love. For one thing, our people don't love each other. So how can they ever love one another? And the Most High showed me also the scripture that he brought out, which was in 2 Chronicles 7 and 14. And also Jeremiah 31 and 31, he just started showing me some scriptures to let me know that it's not about religion. And I know you guys speak that the Israelite belief is not a religion, but there are some Israelites that have taken it on as a religion and think that they're above all the other nations. Now, the Creator, as far as my understanding is that we're the firstborn. So we have to be an example like any firstborn in a family. It's supposed to be the example for the other brothers and sisters. But a lot of times Israel has let that go to their head, and they want to keep the Creator boxed in to one particular nation. But he also showed me Isaiah, the 56th chapter, where it said, strangers are going to come into my house before my own before my own sons and daughters because of their rebelliousness. We have to start loving one another. The people have to start forgiving each other and stop holding grudges. And just, he said the people will be destroyed for lack of knowledge, but also wisdom is the principal thing. But with all you're getting, get understanding. And he led me to the house of Israel when he did, because I needed some knowledge and I needed some understanding about who I was, because I knew it was something special about me and my people, because we wouldn't be hated as much as we are. And I really appreciate y'all, you know, putting me there, because I'm 54 years old and I've never been able to join any church because I always felt like I didn't belong in church. But what I did need to know is how to discipline my flesh. Once I discipline my flesh, then your spirit grows. You know, before that, the flesh was more powerful than the spirit. And that's not the order the Creator wants us to walk in. He wants us to walk in spirit. And I totally agree with the brother that just spoke about where to start. We have to start with our own. And that's to start in the households. Then it spreads out into the neighborhood, and then it spreads out into the nation. But the people don't know how to love one another. And that's all I wanted to bring out. But I really appreciate your program today.
Oh, wonderful. And I definitely agree with you. I agree with you 100%. Love is the principal thing, and that is the thing that we have to deal with each other. And we have to make sure that people understand that love is what's going to, it's the glue that's going to hold it all together. It's the glue that's going to help us to be who we need to be. And, you know, that is what we're trying to do in this in this program. And, you know, I want to say something to everyone, you know, because there are multiple, there's a lot of people in our nation. Everybody's been given a task. And my comment to you on that is everybody do what the Most High called it for them to do. You know, you may, your job may be the neighborhood, your job may be the home, but our job is the nation, you know, and that is what he told us to build. And, you know, we're going to do what we have to do in order to make that happen. And it's not minimizing anything because we should start at home. It should be a lifestyle. We should live the lifestyle. The Torah and the law was given to us for us to live a lifestyle. And a lot of people do say they have the spirit of God, and they're just nasty and arrogant and self-centered and self-determined, and they just, you know, so, you know, love is, you'll know when somebody really loves the Most High, because it'll show, it'll ooze out of them, and it'll resonate on other people, and you can feel it coming from them, you know. So our job is to do what everybody's called to do. We don't minimize what anybody says. If the Most High told you to do it, do it. If we can help you in any way, we can help you in any way. But we have to do what we were called to do as well and come together as a nation. Because, like he said, if my people, which are called by my name, would humble themselves, we've got to come together, because we've been doing it individually in Knesset and in different buildings and stuff. We have done this collectively as a group, and we're still getting shot down in the street. You know, Chicago is one of the, he told us that was the murder capital of the world, I mean of America now, and it's full of Hebrew Israelite communities, and I'm sure they're praying every Shabbat. And if there's still murder in the street in an enormous rate, then we have to say, what's going on? Because it has to be a nation of people that come together. It has to be a nation of people that put their minds together and do what they need to do. Because, like you said, love has to be the principal thing. And knowing who you are and learning your identity and learning your true ethnicity gives you a sense of cooperation to the point where you want to get to know. Because once you know your identity, then you get to know your culture. And then, you know, you get to know your people. But most of all, you get to know your Elohim. And that is where, you know, everything needs to roll. So we do appreciate your comment. You know, we all shout out to Brother Elisha. You know, he was a great man, and he's sure sorely missed, I'm sure. And, you know, he did a lot of great things. You know, we don't minimize him at all in any way. And then, you know, we will be praying for the house of Israel as well, because that happens all the time. When a leader leaves, you know, the foundation of it usually crumbles. And we have to pray for the people that are a part of it, that it will continue and the work will continue the way it has to continue. So, again, if you have a question, a comment, or concern, please push 1. We want to hear from you. We want to hear what you have to say. And we thank you for joining us this evening, because we have a lot of people still on the line. We hope Brother Moshe called back in. You know, his number was disconnected, you know, but we look forward to hearing from him again. You know, and we appreciate him because he is in Chicago. Chicago is a rough place, you know, from what I hear, you know, in certain areas of it. But it's not anything. There's nothing too hard for Yah. Nothing. There's nothing too hard for him. And like I said, the whole purpose of it is, you know, some people deal with neighborhoods, some people deal with government, some people deal with communities, and some people deal with families. But whatever you've been called to do, do it. Do it to the best of your ability and do it well. You know, so we, like I said, we're here to come. If you want to donate to us, please go to our website, www.noyuny2013march.com. Also, Friday, October the 11th is the last day for you to get your discount. Now, once we get to Friday, if people need a little bit more time, I might be able to negotiate with her to give us a little bit more time. But we do need you to at least make your reservations for the march, you know, make your reservations so that you can be there, because we plan on marching up Pennsylvania Avenue. We're going to be on the grounds of the Capitol building, and we're going to speak whatever thus saith Yah has us to speak. And we're looking forward to it, and we know that he's going to make a way.
And so far, we're still a go. I know the government is shut down, but we don't know, you know, how long that's going to be and if it will impact anything that we're doing. So, again, question, comment, concern, please push one. Brother Adonai, are you still there? Because I haven't heard from him. I don't know if the phone dropped or what, but hopefully we'll give him a hold on. Let me get his mic back on. I think he's still. Brother Adonai, are you there?
Shalom, can you hear me?
Hello.
Shalom, can you hear me?
I was wondering. Yes, sir, I got you. I got you back. I got you back.
Oh, okay. Toda Rabba, you understand? First and foremost, I want to thank everybody that spoke, you understand? And I don't disagree with what has been said, you understand? I believe that this march will be a jump-off point for us to start to getting some dialogue going on, you understand?
Yes, sir.
That we can try to build a nation here. That is my goal. I'm set. My life from this moment on, you understand, is for the restoration of Israel. You understand, for us to bring back the kingship. The if we were supposed to be the priest of the Almighty, then this is the start here. You understand? And I appreciate all y'all, and I'm not undermining anything that anybody says. Like you just mentioned that if the Almighty has spirit you has given you the inspiration to speak out on the corners, all of that is part of us coming back together. You understand? I don't have that spirit, but I don't knock nobody else that has it. You understand? If we feel that what the scripture said about us being coming back to the Almighty through our because we have the spirit of the Almighty, you understand, and we're supposed to be praying. I don't knock that at all. I think that we're supposed to pray we're supposed to pick one day to create that all of us, all over the four corners of the earth, wherever we scattered, we supposed to be called on the Almighty so he can give us what we need to get out of this mess. You understand? But I believe that this is a start here. You understand? This is something that nobody has been able to do. It's in the spirit and in the name of the Almighty that we are doing this here. Other people might join on and can join on. You understand? But if it's done in the spirit of the, I'm not looking to, if it's done in the spirit of the Almighty, you understand, he will show us favor. That's what we have to attain. We have to get the favor of the Almighty. I'm looking for the favor of the Almighty for all the things that I've done. You understand? I'm that's why I'm staying so close to this movement, is because I want the Almighty to show me favor. You understand? So, to grant me a blessing to show that I be able to see the error in my ways and move on from there. You understand? But in order for us to get out of here, we're going to have to be a nation of people. Now, true enough, man, it's going to be a remnant of folks that understand this. You understand? And everybody's not understanding at the same time. That's why I keep saying what I'm saying. Hallelujah.
All right. We got Brother Dawid from Sweden. He's on the line. Brother Dawid, how are you, sir?
I'm good. Just sitting back listening.
Shalom, shalom.
Oh, shalom.
What's that noise?
Oh, sorry. I don't know. It's probably they listening. Who knows?
Sorry about that. So I'm having like had some computer problems.
Okay. So what do you think about all the comments that were made?
Oh, you know, from what I caught, because I came in pretty late. You know, I was listening to that one brother speaking. And I was agreeing with a lot of stuff he was saying. What I heard of it.
Mm-hmm. So how are the conditions there in Sweden for our people? I mean, you know, are things getting better? Are they getting worse or what?
No, they're getting worse. It's really bad because they have like the issue in Europe with the immigration. They have like these, you got the wars going on in North Africa. So you have a lot of North Africans, which is like Arabs, coming to Sweden now. And they seem to go on a higher area of the food chain, and black people get pushed down even lower, and it's always been that way. So when they see me, they think I'm from Africa, which I don't care because I am from Africa, but they really discriminate against the Africans. But when they realize that I'm actually from America, they treat me differently, but it's still the same treatment at the end of the day, you know. So, well, you know, it's pretty much the same everywhere in the world.
Absolutely. So, well, you know, we were talking about the downfall of America and how America as an empire is crumbling, you know, and us as a nation of people, we're going to have to start coming together, you know. And a lot of people say that the coming together is collective and it should be individually critiqued to families and communities, you know. But we believe that, like Brother Adonai, and I support 100% that we have to come together as a nation. As a nation of people, and like you said, everybody's not going to agree. So we believe in, you know, people that are with us to join with us, and, you know, we're putting our monies together. We're promoting the march right now. Like you said, after the march, it's going to be a kickoff, and we're just going to put things up into full speed and move full speed ahead, you know. And a lot of people won't understand what we're doing, but out of obedience, we do. And then later on, when the light bulb goes off, then you'll be able to see back and say, and that's why they did that. Because the Most High always works through man, and he always uses man to get his agenda followed through. So we're here just to, you know, to let everyone know that we need everyone's participation. A lot of people are on the line listening, and some people agree and some people don't, and that's fine. We don't have to agree to love each other. We still love you even though we disagree. You know, you may not agree with what we're doing, but at the end of the day, when it comes down to it, if here is where you have to come to eat, because you are a part of the family, we feed you, and that's what it is. You know, whether you agree or disagree, we're just trying to have enough that when it gets real bad, you can come and get a bag of groceries or something to help you get through as long as we can. So that's what this is all about.
I got one more thing to say, though.
Yes.
This came. I also remember hearing the brother speaking about unity. And then what you just mentioned is that, you know, we have to come together, but not everybody's gonna do it. You know, but I always say this, and people have listened to me for a while. We are divided because we are purposely divided. It's not like that's not part of our nature. Okay, our nature is unity. We are unified people. That's what we were. That's what made us special. When you look at history and you read it and you dissect it like I do, you actually see when they started to divide us and how they keep us apart to this day. So it's not really our fault. The drugs in the streets, all the things that you see, the crime, everything that you see, it has been strategically placed there. Okay? It has been strategically placed there. And they divided us because when we are unified, we are the most powerful people on this planet, and we are a threat when we're unified. And that's one thing that we have to really understand. So what we're doing right here, I'm speaking to my sister here. I'm in Sweden. Regardless, I will always preach and try with the last breath to speak unity for the love of my brothers and sisters. And I will not stop, because that's the one thing that will defeat these people, is when we unify and love each other.
That's right. Love is a powerful tool. You know, it's a powerful tool. I mean, you know, love doesn't mean we agree all the time. It just means that we love, and that's just it, you know. We learn how to disagree agreeably. I don't agree with everything. I don't agree with everything that the people that I'm working with agree on, but we have agreed on one thing, that we have a bloodline that we share, and we work together in unity. And it's a beautiful thing when it happens. You know, a lot of people don't understand it, and a lot of people don't see where it's coming from, but it's coming from Yah, because Yah loves his people, and he knows the condition that all of us are in. And he has no respect for person. There's no big eyes and little U's. It's just our turn to do what it is we need to do, and everybody's going to get a turn. So, you know, that's what we try to keep ourselves as humble as possible. We try to love everybody, and we try to move forward and be obedient, because obedience is better than sacrifice. It just is. I mean, really, it really is. And there's no other way to put that. Obedience is better than sacrifice. I have a lot of family members. I'll say again, a lot of family members that are in Christianity. Some of them hold very high positions in their churches. And, you know, I cry and I plead and I beg and I bang and I try to tell them and I go through all these changes. And after a while you get burnt out because they don't want to listen.
But you know what? The love that I have for them doesn't let me give up on them. And I'll just back up for a while, and I'll go to prayer and ask the Most High, how do I approach it? And when the time comes, they may come and ask me a question, and then I'll answer the question. And I'll give you an example. One of my sisters called me, and she says, I want you to answer me a question. I don't want you to say nothing else but just what I ask you. In other words, don't go into no long detail. I don't need no history lesson. Just answer what I ask you. I said, okay, what is it? And she said, what is the name of the God of the Hebrews? I said, excuse me? I mean, for real. And I couldn't say anything. I just gave it to her, and I was done with it because, that lets me know that Christianity needs all the help they can get. I mean, for real, because when I step up in the church and ask, because I had an opportunity to preach someone's funeral. Well, they wanted me to give some remarks. I didn't really preach because I was, I was there as a Hebrew, so, I didn't really preach. But when I got up and said my remarks, my question was, do you guys serve the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? And they all of the preachers, it was bishops lying behind me. Oh, yes, yes, absolutely, yes. And I just kind of smiled. I didn't want to throw that mouse over into the snake pit, but I kind of smiled and went on. So there's a lot of work that needs to be done, and we just have to love each other too. We're going to go to area code 513. Area code 513, go ahead. You're on the air.
Hello?
513? Yeah, we hear you.
Okay. Tamar, I just wanted to say I love you, and I look forward to seeing you in D.C. on November 1st. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. All right. Hallelujah. We got one. Hallelujah. We're going to be there. And like I said, all we have is 12. We're marching through the street with 12, and we're going to represent the 12 tribes of Israel, and we're going to do our thing in Washington, D.C., and we're going to walk through the streets and let them know that even though corporate America runs this country, and even though there's a group of people in this country that's professing to be us, and even though they're supposed to be doing what they're doing, we're going to do what we're supposed to do, too. And we're going to stand up and be who we are. And, it's not anything, out of the ordinary. We're just being who we are. And that's what's happening. So, that's a great thing. People are coming. People are registering. People are going to be there. And we're going to march. We definitely gonna march. So it's a lot of things happening right now. But like I said, she asked me, she said, what is the name of the God of the Hebrews? And I just took a deep breath and I had to just tell her, and that's so we have bigger fish to fry, people. We got a whole group of people that the Most High getting ready to wake up. And when that happens, it's gonna be a game changer. So those are the things that we have to do. Please, if you have a question, comment, concern, please push 1. If you have anything you want to announce before we call for the day, please push 1 because we want everybody to get something off their chest. If you have something you want to say, we've enjoyed the lesson. I mean, the airing today. We've enjoyed the YouTube clips. And everybody has come on the line and they're listening from all over the country. And, we thank you for your participation. Our audience is definitely growing, and people are definitely calling in. And I think that's great from all over the country, even as far as Sweden. Brother Dawid is our brother. He lives in Sweden, and we count it an honor that you take the time to be a part of our program. And we're trying to get everything in place so that we can get this ball on the road. Brother Donial, you have any last comments you want to say?
I just want to say that I love all of y'all. And there's nothing that you can do about it.
Oh, watch it now. See, that's what we need. We need some love. We need some love. Brother Dawid, you want to say something before we say so long?
No, just have everybody have a blessed week.
All right. You know what, everybody? From the nation of Yehuda, from the royal house of King Dawid, Yaina, Yahisrael would like to say Shabbat Shalom. I have enjoyed you. Don't forget about the march. Our website is www.noyuny2013march.com. Please feel free to go online, donate if you can afford to register. The hotel reservation discount will end on Friday. Make your reservation so that we have 30 rooms blocked, and we want all of those rooms taken up. So, you know, we have kids coming from the different colleges, and we don't want you to miss the opportunity. Please go ahead and register for your room. If you can't do that, we're asking you to pray for us as we go through that city, and as we stand on the grounds of the Capitol, we need all the prayer warriors we can get. And from that point on, you guys, you know what I'm going to say? I'm going to say shalom, shalom, and so long. And hopefully we'll see you again next week, just same time, same place. Shalom, shalom, everybody. I love you. Bye-bye.
Shalom, shalom, shalom.
All right, everybody. All right, all right. This is Yaini Israel. I'd like to say shalom, shalom to everybody. And we will see you next week. Shalom, shalom. Shalom.